I want to kind of continue, give you a little background of the last two messages on coming out of darkness. And also this tape on the sovereignty of God will help you see this, because we have come to a period in the history of mankind where God is taking the church a step further out of the darkness. We started by saying a year and a half or so ago that God began recovering the church out of darkness with the ministry, and I'm talking about bringing the corporate church out of darkness. There have always been people on the earth who have not been tainted with the worldly, political, and religious systems. But since the days of Martin Luther, God has been corporately revealing, restoring His church and bringing them a little further each generation and each year, a little further out of religious tradition, teachings, and darkness. These teachings I've been basing on Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 17, where Paul told the Ephesians, "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them." Now, what Paul is saying in this verse of Scripture is that you have been, talking to the Ephesians, you have been regenerated by God. You've been born of His Spirit. You have been seated with Christ in heavenly places. You have been predestinated to walk in the full plan and counsel of God. This, then, I say to you, because of all of this revelation and this knowledge you have, don't be like the Gentile. Don't be like the unbeliever, who is alienated in his mind from the life of God that he has inherited. And this has been the condition of the church at large. Not everyone, but generally speaking, the church of the living God, even what we call the church today, we think that system of Christianity out there today, we look at that and we think that that's the church. Well, in a sense, you can't say it isn't, because God has precious, precious, precious people in that system. But today, we are at the dawn. We are beginning to walk into a new age of freedom in God. Everyone today is in prison to a greater or lesser extent. Everyone. You're in prison. Now, some of us are in prison to our parents. And what do I mean by that? Our parents control us. How many children are controlled and manipulated by their parents' desires for them to be something? Most of us are put in prison as a small child. Almost everyone, in some way, is put into a prison. I was so blessed because I was visiting in California last week or a couple weeks ago, and some friends of mine said that their son came to them, and I don't know, I guess it's his second or third year of college, and he said, "Dad, Mom," he said, "you know, it just isn't in me. I just don't want to go to college anymore." And you know what his parents said? And I was so blessed. They said to him, "You need to follow your heart. And if it is not in your heart to finish college, then follow the desire of your heart." Now, they could say that because this is a Christian family. This boy loves God. He really does. But the point here is that they had their hopes, I'm sure, in him completing college. But they did not force their desires and their hopes for him. They let him decide. Now, some of us, and the greatest majority of God's people are in prison today to ministries. It's a hard word, in prison. And we allow ourselves to be imprisoned by men's visions, by men's desires, and we join ourselves up to men, and then we let them begin to manipulate us. I don't want to go into a lot of detail here because most of us have been through this. God today, across the land, not only in America, but across the world today, is beginning, because of the time of fulfillment is here, is beginning to wake up his people. You know why Jerry could do what he did this morning? Do you know why? Because Jerry has had an awakening. He's had an awakening. And we can all look at Jerry and we can say, man, I'd like to do that. But I'll tell you what, folks, if you come up here and try to copy what he did, chances are very good that you may not experience anything. God does not want to put you into any kind of a mold whatsoever. I'll tell you, the word across the land today, the word of the Spirit, is freedom. And most people confuse freedom with rebellion. Because when you're free, it can appear rebellious. And God, oh, God set me free. And I am not rebellious, but neither do I let men fit me into their molds. I have done what each and every one of us are learning to do, and I'm still learning to do it, and that is hear God. And if you will begin to hear God, now listen, Jerry just followed this leading of the Spirit this morning. And he could have carried the service if he had went on. How much Bible school have you had, brother?
A year and a half.
Well, I'm surprised. But the requirement for ministry is to hear God and to do what he says.
Yes.
And all of us, in general, are in prison because we're listening to our teachers and we're doing what they say. And when you do what man says, no matter what his motives are, whenever you do what man says, you put yourself in a prison that you can't get out of. Freedom is the word for the day. And when you meet together as the church, foremost and utmost in the minds of leadership today has to be freedom. And not judging by outward appearances. Bob and Kina sat back there this morning. They didn't even stand up during worship, I don't think. I didn't see them. They didn't get up here and dance and shout. But see, we can't go by outward appearances. I can go into a church right now where the renewal is taking place, for instance, and everybody is going crazy. And everybody can be having a wonderful time. And I can sit in a chair, not open my mouth, not stand up, and I'll tell you, I can enjoy the presence of God in a deep, rich, and wonderful way. But if you're looking at me expecting me to fit into the mold of what is happening in the renewal today, you're going to think I'm missing it. You need to set me free. You need to set me free and give me the liberty to be who I am, what I am, and where I am. That's a word for today. Freedom! And you who are teaching others, the worst possible thing you can do is try to make them fit into some kind of a mold. If you will set people free, if you will allow them to be transparent, if you will allow them to be who they are, what they are, and where they are, you will not be able to hold them in this building. But if they have to come in here and do anything, it won't work. People all across the land today, and when I say land, I mean across the land of the world, are in bondage to religion. Now, God is beginning on a massive scale. Before, it's always been a minute minority. For instance, if you all have been in church very long, you know wherever you go to church, there's always been that small little nucleus of people who did all the work, who give all the money. I mean, that's the status quo today of church. But today there is such an awakening taking place among the grassroots of God's movement. And people are waking up to such a wide and a large scale that there is such a sound across the land. And it's a sound of freedom. But on the other hand, there's other things taking place that are bringing people into bondage. You know, we manipulate one another all the time and don't even realize it. Because I want to help you, brother. And, you know, I've noticed that you're pretty quiet. And I think what you really need is a real touch from God. So I'm going to help you and tell you what to do so you can touch God. And in doing that, I may tell you, you know, you need to jump, you need to dance, you need to laugh. I can tell you. But I can't tell you how you can experience God the way I do. I have to be able to tell you how to experience God and give you the liberty to find your own way to do it. You need freedom. Dancing, jumping up and down, what Jerry did this morning, it's wonderful. See? But what is wonderful for him can put me in bondage. Yes. If I have to do that. Yet if you will allow me to be me and experience God in my way, and a lot of people don't realize that is real unity. Yes. Real unity is not everybody dancing, everybody singing, everybody jumping up and down. But it's this one over here, sitting in the corner, laughing and rolling on the floor. Over here, there's somebody weeping in the joy and the glory of God. Over here, there's somebody laying on the floor, groaning. And then over here, there's somebody sitting just quiet, not saying a word. They're just... That's what we have to have. Unity is not everybody. You know what? Unity is everybody doing the same thing. But unity and oneness are different. Oneness is everybody enjoying God in their unique way.
Yes. Yes. Amen. Amen.
And that's in spirit.
Yes, that's right.
Praise. What's happening in these days is God is beginning to bring resurrection life to you and me.
Praise.
That's literally what's happening. You say, now wait a minute. I was born again several years ago, yes, but you have not, and I have not, been walking in resurrection life. In fact, we haven't even been taught what it is. Maybe a little bit, but not much. We've had the concept that because we're saved, because we've had an experience with God, then we're spiritual people. And that's obviously a wrong concept. Obviously it's wrong. Because a spiritual person is one who exhibits and manifests the life of God. It's like I was sharing in Walport last weekend. Why should I stand up here and teach you about love and not be one who loves? Why would I stand up here, and many do, and teach you forgiveness, and in my heart I have rebellion, I have anger, I have bitterness, but I'm teaching you forgiveness. This is what we've had in the church. I'll never forget in 1969 when I was first saved, I went into a church and the pastor was preaching against television. And I mean, it was bad. He said, let me tell you folks, television is bursting the gates of hell wide open. And because I was new in the church and I was the first time there, he invited me and those who were with me over to his house that afternoon. And he said all afternoon, he didn't fellowship with us. Very little. All during lunch and dinner, he was watching a ball game. See, I was raised in church, and I've been able to spot hypocrisy all my life. We all have. But you know what we've been taught? We've been taught, well, you know, that's just the way it is. But you know what? Today, that's not the way it is. Today, I walk in forgiveness. not as a theory. And very few people understand that it's possible to walk without any resentment. And I mean this. People that know me, if you would talk to my wife, she would tell you, my own wife doesn't understand me in this regard. Because people, and listen, people do this, especially Christians will abuse you terribly. And even today, my wife sees me take a lot of abuse from people that I love. And my wife is a very loving person, but it's very hard for her to see me being abused and then understand how that it doesn't affect me. And it really doesn't. What happens to me when I'm abused the very first... Now listen, this is nothing that Gary has done. The very first thing that happens to me is the love of God begins to well up in me. And I say, oh God, they don't understand. And they don't understand. They don't understand. Christians today are the most abusive people that I've ever met in my life. And pastors are the most abusive people that I've met in my life. We have people, I sometimes say, Christians, do you enjoy abuse? Because you go to church and you get so abused, you get put into so much condemnation, you are put under so much bondage, I don't understand how you can even go to church. How can you lift your head up? Christian life is not a performance.
Absolutely.
And it becomes a performance for us. Now listen, this is what Paul taught the Galatians. He said, you who would be under the law have fallen from grace. What is grace? You know what grace really is? A lot of people think grace is that which allows you to remain in sin and it's okay. But no, listen, this is what grace really is. The grace of God allows you to be exactly who you are and where you are, but yet gives you the ability to rise above that. Now that's grace. You see, there was a time when if you abused me, I you can't help it. This is natural. There's resentment builds up. I'll never forget one time, one of the first times I began to deal with resentment, I had a neighbor. And we became very good friends. And he used to come over to my house. And they had a lot less than we did, so I helped them a lot financially. And he used to come in my house and be at home and get in my refrigerator, and, you know, and he'd make himself a sandwich. I'm just telling you how close we were. And I gave them a lot of financial help. And one day, I was over in his garage, and he was having a garage sale. And he had a canopy there that he was selling, you know, to cover a trailer, a canvas canopy type thing. That was it. And I had a trailer, and I needed a cover for it. So I said to him, I really need one of those. How much you want for that? And a moment when I said I needed, I could see greed in his eyes. I mean, it was just evident. And he put a price on this thing that absolutely, it just angered me. I was so angry. And I went back home and I said, man, look at what I've done for this person. Look at what I've done for them. I fed their kids when they were hungry. He comes into my house and he helps himself to anything he wants. And he has something that I need, and not only does he want to sell it to me, he puts a big price on it. Oh, was I angry. And that's naturally human. But guess what? That's not grace. Grace, at those times, you learn how to turn to the Spirit of the living God. Listen, is he in us or isn't he? If the Spirit of him that raised up Christ from the dead dwell in you, then he that raised up Christ shall also quicken and give life to you, even to your mortal body. Is it true or is it not? Well, what hinders that spirit? It's the carnality. It's the carnal mind. We don't know that it's not okay to be natural. We don't know that there's a freedom and a liberty in spirit because we don't even know where spirit is. Some of us have even been taught that we have Christ in us, and we still don't know how to get to him. Freedom is coming. Freedom is coming. There is such a life that is available to us, and it doesn't matter. You can learn in any circumstance, in any trial of life, that God is sufficient. Now, we know that. All of us know that. We know that. But we don't experience it. Very little. Because of our bondage. And because of our religious traditions. You see, when we get angry and we hold resentment, we know we've been taught that's not right. And we know we can't help it. Right? There's nothing I can do about that. I hear this all the time. I am so resentful. I can't help that. Well, you really can't unless you know and you have the key that unlocks the door for you to enter into the realm of spirit. Because in spirit, there is no anger. There is no bitterness. There is no resentment. There is nothing but love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, and self-control. I'll tell you what, I don't see very much of that in the church. And the only reason that is because we're all in prisons. We're in a prison, and we don't even know we're in a prison. I mean, we go to church, a lot of us, and we get our emotions stirred up, and we get excited, and, you know, we can have a good time, but we still have anger. We still have resentment. We still have bitterness. I mean, people hurt us and we want to kill them. Listen, God is bringing us out of that today for one simple reason. Not because all of a sudden we're good enough. Not because we've done anything that merits this. It's simply because the fullness of time has come for him to produce the bride of Christ. And because you are most fortunate to be living in this time, not because of your hunger, not because of your thirst, not because of your religiosity, but because the time has come for the bride to be prepared, God has been preparing you since the very day you were born. And we are just now beginning to realize that He did and He is the creator of all things. And God is bringing light to the church in such depth and in such clarity as has never been seen ever. I mean, ever been seen. There is such a clarity and a crystal clearness coming. And such light and understanding. Because we are entering right now, people, and I know you can look around in us and you can't see this, but right now the people of God are beginning to enter the kingdom of God.
Yes. Amen. Amen.
You see, we've been able to see it. Our teachers have taught about it. We kind of think we know what it is, but we're beginning to enter it. Why? Not because we're... Listen, this is one thing that we need much light and revelation on, because God is very quickly going to, if you haven't experienced much of this, in the coming days, you are going to be ushered into such an awareness and such a speaking of God. And it's not because you deserve it, it's because God designed it so. The age of the kingdom of God has always been here, but the establishment of that on the earth is now beginning to take place.
Yes.
Yeah, we can all say hallelujah, but let me tell you what's going to fall. And not completely, but what has to happen before the multitudes of God's people can enter the kingdom of God as we are beginning to enter into it, they must be delivered from captivity. And the thing that has them in bondage and captivity is the very thing that they're looking to for answers. And that's the Christian system. And don't misunderstand me. I'm not talking about leaving your church. I'm talking about getting this religious mindset out of you and getting your attention and your focus off of individuals. We've been told this for years too. But because, see, this is part of the thing that's going to happen in these days, and it began a few years ago, is that God has begun to judge the church corporately, and we've seen some of these corporate shining stars begin to fall. Because in the end times, many of the stars shall fall out of the heavens. You say, that's not talking about people? Well, you know, it was told to Daniel that in the last day, those who have turned many to righteousness shall shine as the stars in heaven. And many of the people who we've looked at as shining stars, who many people looked at as shining stars, are beginning to fall and have fallen in the past. But now judgment is getting much more serious in respect that God is going to judge and is beginning to judge what in your eyes is going to look like it's not God judging it. What do I mean by that? Well, I'll share a little bit of what I shared in Walport again last weekend. I was watching Christian television a few weeks ago, and they were raising their weekly thing for bringing in pledges and raising money for the television network, which is all well and good. But I heard, and when I heard this, I can't tell you. I can't tell you the grief that I felt. But I heard this, that all you folks out there that are watching tonight, you get your pledges in here, plant the biggest seed faith you can plant, get it in here, get on the telephone, and plant the largest seed faith gift you can tonight, because at the end of these meetings, we're going to have this big evangelist, this big shining star, come and pray for you. And those of you who have sown a seed in faith, so many of you will be healed, many of you will be delivered, many of you will be set free. Now listen, folks. Right now, in Christians' eyes, that is one of the most blessed, and it is, one of the most glorious things God has ever done on the earth, is raise up that network. And I'm telling you, it's under judgment. What that is the same thing that Martin Luther rebelled against the Catholic Church for in the very beginning. They were taking people's money and offering back prayers. You can do that today. You can give them money and they'll light a candle for you. You can give them money and they'll say a mass for you. No different. Yet we've condemned the Catholic Church for years, some of us, for the practices that Martin Luther rebelled against, yet we are doing the same thing. I'll tell you, folks, you can't buy God. You don't have enough money. You know that. And I say that because people today, we need to realize that when we see the Christian system begin to fall, don't pray for it. Because God said this, I build and I tear down. Said nothing about the devil. You see, that's another thing. Oh, that's such a grief that we have such a powerful devil. That's such a grief to the heart of God, that Christians have given the devil so much power and authority. Oh, it's a grief to the heart of God. God is the builder. I build and I tear down. He said, if you bear fruit, I'm going to prune it. Have you ever been pruned? When you're pruned, that means every bit of fruit, your love, your joy, your peace, your long-suffering, you may have some of that in your life. When God prunes you, guess what? Oh, God, what happened to me? And right away, you begin fighting spiritual warfare and doing battle against the devil. Because in your eyes, in your mentality, because of what you've been taught, you fight the devil, and in actuality, you're fighting what God is doing in your life. And if we're not aware of what God is doing today in the system of Christianity, I'll tell you, that thing will always be here, even when Jesus comes back. But it's going to lose its power, which it already has. It's going to lose its glory. It's going to lose its finances. Judgment is coming. Judgment is here. People are in such bondage. And listen, when that thing started that was so pure, I personally have put thousands of dollars into that thing. And then all of a sudden you see the whole thing take on the glare and the flare of the world. Because in our carnal mentality, we think, well, this is the way the world does it. So if we do it this way, we'll be successful like the world. Well, of course you will. And you walk right out of the presence of God and don't even know it. Because the blessings keep coming. People keep getting blessed. But remember what I've shared in the past? There's Ishmael and there's Isaac. And God said, I'll bless Ishmael. And that's why it's so hard. We have to have the light and the revelation from God to see that that thing is really nothing but the works of the flesh. That's what an Ishmael is. And God even said, I will bless it. But my promise is to Isaac. And the only thing Isaac does, Jesus was a type of Isaac, the only thing Isaac does is realize who he is. I am my father's child. And to gain his favor, I don't have to do anything. There's not one thing I need to do to gain. He's my father. I don't have to perform to him. That's such a mockery. He doesn't expect me to act in a certain way to gain his favor. But when I realize I have my eyes unveiled, that God literally is my father, then I begin to enter into the realm of the kingdom. I'm not out here looking at it. I'm not understanding it with the mind. I'm actually entering into it, realizing, God, you're my father. And when that happens, folks, you become like a magnet. Yes. Everything that God has begins to flow in your direction. When you realize that what you have is God in you. Has nothing to do with you. We're in prison. We're in a prison called carnal mind. And the devil isn't our problem, except the fact that the devil and your carnality, the devil and your mind are one. The natural mind I'm speaking of. Paul told the Romans in chapter 7, he said, I know that in me, that is in my flesh, is a no good thing. See, we keep trying to make that thing good. And we keep producing an Ishmael. And we may make that thing very good. Psychology can help you make that thing very good. But that thing stands as Antichrist and we don't know it. Peter just had a marvelous revelation when Jesus asked, who do you say I am? And Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus turned to him and he said, Peter, flesh and blood hasn't revealed this to you. Because there were Jews on the earth at that time when Jesus was here. There were holy men of God in the temple of God praying day and night for the Messiah to come. And here he came, walking their streets, healing their sick, raising their dead, and they called him a devil. You cannot know God by the natural mind, no matter how bad you want to. The natural, carnal mind of man cannot possibly understand the things of God. See, that's why today that God's people can't be godly. That's why they're full of resentment and bitterness and hatred and backbiting and divisive. That's why. They haven't had a revelation that God lives within them. They know it. You can't be a Christian for 2 weeks. You don't. Everybody, you're told, when you receive Jesus, you're born again. He comes into you. Well, does he? Does he? We have multitudes of Christians who haven't experienced that. They've been taught that. But they don't experience what Jesus did. When Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, he didn't mean that, you know, that just by saying, Jesus, I receive you, everything is okay. When he said, I am the way to God, he was saying, I am your example. If you want to find life, I'm the way. Not the man Jesus, but the way he lived. The way he sacrificed himself. The way he gave himself to others. He said, I am the truth and I am the life. Not meaning that intellectually you just believe in him and everything's okay for you. No, no, no. He said, if you want to know God, I'm the way, I'm the truth, and I'm the life. You look at me, you see what I do, and then what? You just go ahead and do it. He said, Peter, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you. Folks, if you've never experienced, and most of us have at the beginning of our Christian life, we have such an awareness and such a consciousness of God in the beginnings of our Christian life, but it wanes and we lose it because we fall into religion and performance. If you would get saved and always be yourself and never try to perform, and if you're a smoker, you go ahead and smoke. If you're a prostitute, oh, I know how this sounds, but listen, if God is not able to transform you, if God is not able to help you, if God is not able to deliver you, don't try to perform. Don't try to clean up your life. If he is God, let him do it.
Amen.
And if you let him do it and you don't perform, you won't change overnight. If we would get people saved and let them be transparent. Oh, set me free and allow me to be who I am. I want to be like God. I want with all my heart, I want to be like God. I want to be able to emit from the essence of my being the perfume of the Spirit of God. And I can do that if you'll let me. But I can't perform. I was blessed because I could never perform. I was never able to be the good Christian. Couldn't do it. And if we would tell people, stop performing. But you see, our churches were in captivity because in church, I can't be who I am. Could I be a prostitute today and come to church? Would you love me? Flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, Peter, but my Father which is in heaven. Oh, God, we need a revelation. We can know it with our minds. We can understand it to a certain extent with the natural mind, but we can never walk in it without revelation knowledge. Three or four verses later, Jesus said, I'm going to the cross, and I'm going to be crucified, and I'm going to die. And Peter said, no, Lord, no, no, that can't be. And Jesus then turned to Peter and he said, get thee behind me, Satan. So within three or four verses, Peter went from a man who had a revelation of God to manifesting Satan in his flesh. That's the revelation the church has not had. We are taught to fight the devil as though he were an entity apart from us, trying to steal that which God gave to us. That is impossible. Every one of us without fail, if you were born into the human race, your mind is a devil. It's hard to take, isn't it? Your mind will steal. Your mind will do everything possible to keep you from the revelation that you can live in the resurrected, transcendent life of God. John 6 and verse 70. Have I not chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil? In Titus 2 verses 1 through 3, Paul says, speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in love, in patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not devils. The word is diabolos. The King James translated it, not false accusers. But in the original languages is that they be as become holiness, not devils. 2 Timothy 3, 1 and 5. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. Men shall be lovers of themselves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, devils. The King James translated it false accusers. And the word is devils. What the word will reveal to us that whenever we are acting out of the carnal mind and the natural understanding, we are one with the devil. Because that's what happened in the fall, that Adam became one. Adam fell from the state of walking in total glory to one lowered to a state of the flesh and become one with the man of sin or Satan. Now you think about all the teaching we've had in the past, how we need to fight the devil. We need to bind the devil. We've got these little devils in the airwaves over our cities, controlling our cities. And all of that activity is out here somewhere. And all the time, the little devils are tearing up our lives in our natural understanding. We're false accusers. We're full of bitterness. We don't have the power to live the Christian life. And all the time we're blaming it on devils out here somewhere, not realizing that the natural mind and the carnal understanding is one with the devil. And that is the only reason why Jesus could say that he comes, but he can find nothing in me. The devil had no power over Jesus because there was nothing in him that would go along with or submit to that power. And the only way that the devils or the spirits, the wicked spirits, can have any authority in your life is because you don't understand that you're one with them in your natural mind. And if you begin to have the mind renewed, as Paul taught, be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and you begin to realize that heaven is not a place to go to when you die, you begin to realize, as Paul said, we are seated with Christ in heavenly places, that this is not some place away off somewhere, but it's a realm, it's a sphere of existence. The kingdom of God is more real than that which we see with our natural eyes. But because we're natural people living with a natural understanding and we read the Bible with natural minds, we come up with Baptists and Catholics and Pentecostals and on and on and on, instead of coming up with a revelation that I have the Spirit of God in me. I don't need a man to teach me. Men for years have been teaching the Bible with carnal knowledge and carnal understanding, and that's why the church is in the condition that it's in. And they can't help it. I'm not saying there's nothing wrong. I mean, we've had mighty men, pure men of God. But you see, God is bringing the church. It's been years and generations of bringing the church out of darkness. We're coming out of that darkness that we've been in. And we're going to be, if we're not now, we're beginning to walk in the reality of the kingdom of heaven being a reign of God right here. The kingdom of God is wherever God rules and reigns, and heaven is the sphere in which he reigns. That's all. If God begins to fully reveal and manifest himself within me, if the anointing and the Spirit of God begins to grow in me and swallows up the bitterness, swallows up the carnality, swallows up the natural mind, and I become a spiritual person, and I begin to walk and manifest the fruits of the Spirit, I am literally entering into the kingdom of heaven. I don't have to wait till I die. It's not a place to go to when you die. I was surprised when I found out there's not one verse in the Bible that says heaven is a place to go to when you die. Jesus himself said, the kingdom of heaven comes not with observation. In other words, you can't see it coming. The kingdom, he said, listen, the kingdom of heaven is within you. And as long as you think it's somewhere out here, as long as you think it's going to take death or whatever, the kingdom of heaven is within. And almost all of our theologians of today say that is false doctrine. But God is beginning to arise within his people. We're beginning to wake up. We're beginning to experience what Paul told the Ephesians. Awake, you who are sleeping. Arise from the dead. And Christ shall shine upon you and from within you. We're beginning to wake up. But we have to stop fighting the devil out here. And we really don't need to do warfare with the devil in here. What we need to do is have the revelation. And if you don't have this, now you can know that Jesus is in you. I'm not talking about that. You need revelation. You need your eyes unveiled, and you need to really see, and be as you see, then you enter. He says you must be born again, be born of water and the Spirit, to see and then to enter the kingdom. We have seen the kingdom for a long time. It's time we entered it, and we can't do it without revelation. You can be born again. I know how this is sound. You can be born again and not enter the kingdom of God. You enter the kingdom of God simply by revelation from God that he truly has placed his life in you. Then he begins to unveil all the theological doctrines. I'll tell you, when God begins to speak to you, the reason people don't progress in the Christian life is because when he begins to speak to you, he says things to you that are absolutely contrary to what you've been taught for 2,000 years. And you think it's the devil trying to deceive you. And you're even taught it's the devil trying to deceive you. I've been told by almost every church that I've come out of that I'm being deceived by the devil, or I wouldn't be leaving that church. The only way you can know for a surety that you're not deceived is if you're bearing fruit. And that fruit is not how many people you are saving. That is not fruit. The fruit of the Spirit is love. Joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, temperance, meekness, self-control. That's the only way that you can judge whether or not a person is godly. Why did God say that's the way to judge? And he says, don't judge by outward appearances. Because as Christians, we have the same mindset as the Jews had. The Jews thought that they were the only people on the earth that God loved. He was the only people on the earth. They had it all. Now, along comes the Christians after the resurrection of Christ. And the Christians fell from a knowledge and a revelation of walking in the kingdom of God, they fell again into the religious system that was twice as bad as the Jewish religion. Put people in much more bondage than the Jewish religion ever thought about. And today they say, we have the truth. We have all the knowledge, and all the Mormons, all the JWs, all the Buddhists, all the Hindus, nobody else has the truth. We have it all. And they can see a person in India who absolutely manifests love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, temperance, and meekness, and say that person is going to hell because they don't know Jesus. Call today in Revelation 17 is come out of her, my people. What does that mean? Come out of Christianity. Come out of Buddhism. Come out of everything that you've ever been in all your life. Come unto me and let me guide you. Come unto me and let me nourish you. That's the call today. That today is what the Spirit is saying to the churches. If you're a Christian, get out of there. Get out of that mindset. Get away from it. You search the scriptures day and night. You spend sometimes hours in prayer. You have food ministries and clothing ministries. You do everything possible, but you will not come to me. You will not come away from your work and sit at my feet and learn of me. That's the call today. Come out and separate yourself from everything that looks ungodly. You thought a bottle of beer was ungodly. You've thought to have a glass of champagne was ungodly. The most ungodly thing on the earth today is religion. And if Jesus were here, and he is, if he was speaking today, and he is, he would say the same thing to the Christian that he said to the Pharisees of his day. You snakes and you vipers. You bind people. You don't enter into the kingdom, and neither will you allow those who are entering to go in. You thieves and you robbers. You snakes. But brother, people are flocking to our churches. They're dancing and they're singing and they're having a good time. Yes, but they're not entering the kingdom. They're not walking in the ascended, resurrected life of the Spirit of God. They're satisfying their emotions. It feels good to get stirred up. You know what I'm saying is truth. Because the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil is a life that is both good and evil. And the fruit of the tree of life is just life. Life doesn't know good and evil. Life only knows life. Life only knows that I have such a desire and such a hunger to build and to restore. I have such a hunger to enter into the depths of where you are and to lift you and to set you upon a rock. I have such a desire to shower my love upon you and to set you free. You must come out of bondages of men and tradition. And you must come unto me that I may rebuild you and restore you. You must come unto me and realize that you, yes you are the most precious. And within the very recesses of your being, I have placed the seed of my life. And everything that I am, as it was said earlier here today, everything that I am is like a flower waiting to blossom within the very recesses of your being. Oh, how I long to arise within you and to bring forth my life. But you must hear the words. You must hear the voice and the cry of the Spirit. Come out of her, my people! That you be not a partaker of her plagues. Because I say to you, in one day destruction shall come to her. And all those who have not escaped, as it was in the days of Jerusalem, when the armies surrounded Jerusalem, those who had not heard the word of the Lord and those who had not escaped suffered in the judgment and the destruction. And I say to you today, you must arise and come out. Because the day of judgment is swiftly here and coming to pass. Come out of her, my people, that you be not a partaker of her plagues and her judgments. Come aside and let me nourish and cherish you. Come aside and let the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob reveal to you the riches of resurrection life. And the joys of one who can rise above the human understanding, the human limitations, and the human lifestyles. For I am ascending in these days. I'm ascending from the very depths of your being, and I'm bringing forth the light of my word that will absolutely transform every area of your life, and that will cause you to shine with the glory and the magnificence of your God. But you must come out of that Christian mindset. And come unto me and find life.
I'll take you back.
This concludes this message. For additional tape copies or for more information, you may write Sigler Ministries, that's S like Sam, I-G-L-E-R, P.O. Box 26695, Winston-Salem, North Carolina, 27114. Or you may telephone us at area code 336-775-4930. Our web address is www.sigler.org. Our email address is orders@sigler.org. All of our tapes are distributed at no charge as finances permit. These messages may not be sold, but you may duplicate them freely for distribution. Many have asked us where to obtain the beautiful music at the end of our tapes. You may write Linda Musgrove, that's M-U-S-G-R-O-V-E, P.O. Box 111, Cunningham, Texas 75434 for information concerning her music.
True identity. I'm removed.